join the fight.
Monday edition of the Gym Class getting ready to come your way here at KGYM. We'll go over the weekend that was in the world of sports, including Iowa and Michigan, Iowa State and TCU. You and I gets a win at home as well. Take a look at the NFL, Major League Baseball, and more. The Gym Class coming your way on KGYM. And good afternoon. And from our studios on the southwest side, we welcome you into the Gym Class here on 1600 and the 106.3 FM frequency in Iowa City. If you would like to continue to listen to Game 4 between the Cardinals and the Braves, it is airing right now on 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. As always, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, we'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way from 4 to 7. And then after that tonight, we've got for you at 7 o'clock, just past 7 o'clock on KGYM, 1600 AM, the Cyclone Sideline Show for you. And then on 106.3 FM, for that duration of that 90 minutes, we will have Monday Night Football. George Kittle and the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Cleveland Browns. Soon as the Cyclone call in, did it again. There's another dollar into the bucket. Cyclone Sideline Show, as soon as that is complete, we'll take 1600 AM to the NFL game. 107.5 FM tonight, a do or die game 3 for your Minnesota Twins, Mark, as they host the New York Yankees in Minneapolis. A little playoff baseball tonight in the land of 10,000 lakes, and right here on 107.5 FM.
So you're maneuvering the different connections tonight at various spots.
Yes, I am.
You've already programmed it. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Yes. Yeah, that's how that works. So right now, it's us or the Cardinals. So you take your pick or go back and forth, whatever you want to do. And they're on 107.5 FM. Cardinals, by the way, up 2-1 now. Atlanta has scored a run in the top of the third off Dakota Hudson on a sacrifice fly, scoring the pesky Dansby Swanson, who got on again a little less fanfare than yesterday in the late innings. But at any rate, we'll talk some baseball with you coming up in just a little bit. Right now, it looks like there's going to be no sweep in Tampa as the Rays have exploded on Zach Greinke and the Houston Astros. They lead it 9-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning at the Trop. So it looks like that one is going to go to a game 4 coming up sometime tomorrow, either tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, depending on what happens in Minneapolis tonight.
Yeah, as you mentioned, an elimination game for the Twins tonight at Target Field against the Yankees. Jake Odorizzi trying to give the Twins a better pitching performance. And you know, we'll talk with Cal Eldred tomorrow about these various series. I didn't have high expectations for the Twins, knowing that the Yankees and or Astros were on the horizon. Listen, it's been a 101-win season. I can't really be disappointed about that. I would like to see the Twins more competitive against the Yankees, but I'm aware of the history. The Yankees have a terrific lineup. Pitching is better than I thought. And listen, when the Twins trot out Randy Dobnik, sorry about all you Uber fans, but tried him out in game 2, you can't be real optimistic. And I think that points back to the trade deadline and Minnesota's unwillingness or inability to bring in another frontline starter. And, I mean, Kyle Gibson.
Wish you had Kirk Gibson.
Kyle Gibson is throwing out of the pen. I don't understand that either. I've rarely been critical of Rocco Baldelli this year, but the pitching just has not been there, and I kind of figured that'd be the case.
Well, let's face it. Some analytics said that they should bring him out of the bullpen. Here's all I'm going to say about baseball over the weekend is there were many situations where a bunt was
Don't steal my sports view for tomorrow.
Was needed. St. Louis Cardinals. And you don't bunt. You wait for that three-run home run. It's Earl Weaver baseball, nonstop now. And just swing as hard as you can. You might get lucky and hit a home run. And if you do, that's great. You look like a genius. If you don't, I think you look even dumber because you had the opportunity to move guys into scoring position. And there are a lot of ways to score from third, especially.
13 ways, by the way.
Yeah. But you and I are beyond the age of 50 and we don't know anything.
Well, again, I'm going to.
It's not analytics. It's not launch angles. It's not this. It's not that. Right?
There's a lot of pros and cons to bunting in that situation. First and second, nobody out. Plenty of teams disdain the bunt for whatever reason. I've not only prepared a sports view for tomorrow on that subject, excuse me, it'll air from between 1 and 1:30, but I also want to ask Cal Eldred about that tomorrow.
I do too.
He's in the dugout for 15 years. He's been a pitching coach next to Ned Yost, a manager, the last couple years. What's going on, Cal? That's tomorrow.
There you go. We'll talk with Cal coming up tomorrow. We're also going to preview Iowa State, West Virginia, and preview Iowa and Penn State coming up this week as well. Start time for Iowa State, Texas Tech. It was determined today, a week from Saturday in Lubbock. That will be an 11 o'clock kickoff and a 9 o'clock pregame coming up a week from this Saturday. This Saturday, it's a 12:30 pregame as Iowa State will be in Morgantown to take on the West Virginia Mountaineers, and mention we'll talk about that coming up this week. Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line available at 319-366-1600. Hertina Stocker Jewelers, they're located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. As always, we are presented by Third Base Brewery here on the Gym Class. And a big thanks to Third Base. Hope you made it over there sometime during the weekend and watch some of the great sporting events that took place, whether you like them or not. The outcome, great place to hang out when you're at Third Base. You're practically home at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class each and every day right here on KGYM. Iowa, Michigan. I guess that's a good place to start. Hawkeyes lose for the first time, 10-3, to fall to 4-1 on the season. And as I mentioned in my sports view today, we begin the third phase of football, and that is the complaint season. And I would imagine a lot of folks have a lot of things to say out there. So if you do, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Your big observation, and I also agree with you wholeheartedly as far as this is concerned, Iowa abandoned the running game basically in the second quarter. And Don Brown, the Michigan defensive coordinator, took advantage of it, dialed up blitz after blitz after blitz on most every down, especially on passing situations. And he came up roses in that particular instance on Saturday, because Nate Stanley was, if he was not being hit or sacked, was running for his life. And I think the final play of the game that Iowa had the football was kind of a microcosm of everything that happened on Saturday. Being chased, Stanley being chased to the point he had to throw it left-handed on a fourth down and 11 do-or-die play, and it ended up losing a yard.
As food for thought, we prepared a poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. What was the most disappointing aspect of Iowa's loss at Michigan? We'll give you three choices: abandoning the run, Nate Stanley's decision-making, or the offensive line play. Again, thanks as always to Emil's. I would say
yes.
Yes, but maybe none of the above. I'm placing this squarely on Brian Ferentz's shoulders.
Are you? Okay.
Squarely. I mean, on the one hand, you can call any play in the playbook. If your players don't execute, it's going to look bad. I get that. But when you run the ball once in the fourth quarter, now granted, up till then, minus Stanley's negative yardage on sacks, Iowa ran the ball for the game 22 times for 66 yards. 3 yards a carry is not that good. But when you totally throw out the run, you tell the other team we're not going to run, what is the defense going to do?
They're going to pin their ears back.
It's going to pin their ears back and come at the quarterback. You can lay it on Stanley. He didn't have a chance.
Now, he made a couple bad reads. I will say that.
He didn't have a chance.
And you put that together with passing situations and pass patterns where Iowa, and they've done this for most of the entirety of the Ferentz era, and that is they don't send four or five receivers out usually. A little bit more, little bit less conservative at the beginning of this year, but in that Michigan game when they had to have max protection, they only sent one or two receivers out, and Michigan took full advantage of that. Also took full advantage of an offensive line. Cole Banwart started, got a little bit dinged up. Alaric Jackson played and was not Alaric Jackson out there. He was rusty and did not have a good game, looked slow. Michigan adjusted. Don Brown put their best and fastest pass rusher over there. Alaric Jackson had a tough time with it. Whoever Iowa had, it was a bad game. it was just an off day. But still, despite 8 penalties, some backbreakers, 6 times when Iowa got to the Michigan at least 45-yard line, 4 turnovers, and 8 sacks. Iowa was at Michigan, was still in that game with a minute to go.
Well, it's 10-3 at the half, and Iowa has committed 3 turnovers, and as bad as Iowa looked on offense, maybe they're going to regroup at halftime and come back out and win this game. And in regards to the run, they started the second half with runs of 15, 5, and 5 yards. But as I said, one run in the fourth quarter, and you're just telling the Michigan defense, we don't care to run, we're going to pass the ball. And Michigan says, okay, we'll see you in the backfield.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Much better than Saturday. You guys are in here talking about all the things that went wrong, and it's honestly hard to put your finger and say this is the worst thing, because the offensive line did not play great, like you've said. Nate Stanley didn't play great, as you've said. But I think I'm with Mark. I think if you had to pick one and put it above the rest, I think it's got to fall on Brian Ferentz a little bit. And Scott, you just brought up the thing that really is kind of upsetting me most about what we saw on Saturday is one of the interceptions was you had Max Protect on the left side, 2 receivers out to the right side, and those 2 guys on out wide on the right were the only 2 running routes. The guy outermost was just running a little hitch or something like that, and the guy in the slot was running a fade, and those are the only 2 guys running routes, right?
Right.
You're keeping everyone else in. You still let Michigan get a push. You only had those 2 guys running routes, and Nate Stanley failed to realize that his fade was not open. He was bracketed. And so on that one play, you're kind of seeing the offensive line failing, the play calling failing, and Nate Stanley not having the general awareness to not make some of the throws that he did. It was just all systems failure, and it was just really hard to watch.
Listen, football's a complicated game. More complicated
each and every
than
year.
I probably understand. I've been around it for years, but I'm not in the college coaching room or the practices. I was confounded why Tyler Goodson wasn't on the field more. He was the most productive player.
Out of the backfield, catching passes.
I understand certain packages call for Sargent or Young. You got to get that kid on the field more and utilize him.
I think we're going to see that moving forward. You know, it doesn't fix anything that happened over the weekend, but I thought his usage just in that game alone, it wasn't as much as it could have been, but it was far more than it had been. And even in the, because look back, he got a lot of action in the Middle Tennessee State game, right? But most of it was in the second half. They still kind of treated him as a second tier, second string kind of guy. But we saw a lot of Tyler Goodson in the first quarter. He ends up being Iowa's leading receiver. I think moving forward, we're going to see a lot of Tyler Goodson.
Go ahead.
Go to the text sign, Hertin Stocker Jeweler text sign, 319-366-1600. You can use that same number to connect with Kyle and participate in the show. 81-42, the most disappointing part for me would be abandoning the run. If you don't abandon the run, the other two options in this poll wouldn't be options. You would take pressure off of Nate Stanley, and obviously there wouldn't be fewer opportunities to give up sacks and get exposed. Cyclone Tim, Brian Ferentz, question mark, doesn't everything that gets sent out there run through Daddy Ferentz? Adapt and adjust, could have won that game. Defense played great, and that's what's lost.
Yes.
The defense played tremendous.
Well, the other thing lost, and thank you for the text, keep them coming at 319-366-1600. The other thing that is lost, and I hit upon this at the end of my sports view today as well, it's one game. The season is not lost if you're an Iowa fan out there. And in the offseason, and we asked this question last week to most everyone. We asked it on Before the Boom. Would you take 1-1? In this two-week stretch, in the off-season, in the summer, back in May and June, you asked Iowa football fans out there, hey, you know, at Michigan, Penn State, 1-1 in that, you think? Yeah, no problem. But you get to 4-0, and your expectations rise a little bit.
Not only that, and I agree with you in the preseason, because I was in the same camp, but when you see Michigan drilled at Wisconsin, Iowa fans had that much more hope that they could go in, Iowa could go into Michigan and win, and it was a winnable game. There's no question about it. But let's just face it, the offense had, and Brian Ferentz had a bad day. And by the way,
and maybe Michigan had a bad day in Wisconsin.
And by the way, if you've never ever had a bad day, give us a call. I want to know what your secret is.
319-366-1600.
1307 on the text sign. Iowa may have lost, but unbridled nepotism won. The Brian Ferentz resume is beyond smudged.
It's one
He's
game.
Had his good days, too. Don't forget that.
Yes. And when Iowa was rushing and looking like the Indianapolis Colts last night, everyone was applauding Brian Ferentz. I think he got lost in the heat of the moment a bit, but again, I am not burying him. I'm not burying the Iowa football team yet. I think this team is still pretty good.
Well, the approach was as if Iowa was down two or three touchdowns.
Exactly.
Pass, 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 pass. I just didn't get it.
No, I'm with you.
98-42. One of my Michigan friends said that Michigan switched defenses overnight, and that's why Iowa was not ready. Is that true? I have no idea, and I doubt that that happened overnight, Friday into Saturday.
Everybody at this time of the year starts to tinker and starts to adjust a little bit. Yes, Michigan showed some different looks in that game. There's no doubt about it. But the thing that really confounded Iowa was the fact that Michigan was sending somebody each and every play, and Iowa had no idea where it was coming from. They disguised it so very well, Don Brown did, the defensive coordinator for Michigan, that you didn't know if it was coming from the outside. You didn't know if it was going to loop back to the inside. Nate Stanley and Iowa had trouble figuring out what the coverage was going to be with the blitz coming. It was just a genius defensive scheme by Michigan, and won the day for them because the Michigan offense, other than a 50-yard pass play and having a 20-yard field off the first play of the game when Iowa fumbled,
didn't do anything.
The Michigan offense did zero. Zero in that game. And you don't let one loss lead to another loss.
Well, and we're going to talk with Mike Halas, and this is what I thought about Saturday as well. Mike pointed out in his column today, remember 3 years ago, Iowa got drilled at Penn State, 47 to whatever it was, and then everybody, oh, God, Michigan's coming into Kinnick, number two in the country, 9-0, and what happens?
One big.
coaching staff regrouped, and Iowa won 14-13 on Keith Duncan's
a big win.
Field goal.
I should
say
not one big.
And we've seen it other times as well. Just when you think Iowa's buried, this coaching staff has come back. Not to say it's going to happen against a very, very good Penn State team, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No. 319-366-1600-323. That is the Hawkeye story. We'll talk more about that. Mike Kolas going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk about Iowa State. Yes, that was Iowa State playing on Saturday. I'm sorry. Those uniforms are awful. I know the kids love them, but no Cardinal, no gold, not Iowa State. We're going to talk about their game against TCU and a little bit about UNI and a little news out of UNI today and the football program as well. So stay with us. More to come after this. Gem Class being presented by Third Base Brewery coming your way on a Monday here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Back with you on the Gem Class of KGYM. Again, the Cardinals and the Braves airing on 107.5 FM. Marcelo Zuna has gone deep again as the Cardinals now lead it 3-1. Trying to tie up this NLDS with Atlanta and bring about a game five, which would be back in outside of Atlanta coming up on Wednesday, either Wednesday evening or the early game on Wednesday afternoon, depending on what happens later in Washington between the Dodgers and the Nats. Looks like there will be a game four In Tampa, the Rays lead 10-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning over the Houston Astros. Houston will still lead that best of five, 2-1. A few more texts in before we get to Iowa State.
Yeah, 97-66. Iowa couldn't run against Iowa State or Mississippi State. Michigan knew they didn't have to do anything because we were never going to score.
Michigan's defense said we wanted to make Iowa pass the ball because they don't look comfortable passing the ball.
Ryan and Walford, if we can score 21 a game for the rest of the year, we may not lose another one. And please, for the people calling out our coaches, it's one game. Yes, the play calling and game plan was questionable at best, but goodness gracious, it's one damn day.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Appreciate that.
30-20, Iowa beat themselves. Michigan didn't beat Iowa, and Goodson needs to start. Adam the Mason, I think fans are reacting so strongly because this game felt very winnable before Iowa even got to Ann Arbor. Michigan has struggled this season, and Iowa felt like the better team. I don't know if confidence runs as high with the Penn State matchup, so I think that's why the panic button is being pushed a bit.
Yeah. I'm discounting the Michigan-Army game because Army is, A, good. It's a 10-win team, and they run an offense that you don't see anymore
right. In
the world of college football. So, yes, they struggled against Wisconsin, but it might have been one of those days. An Iowa day at Michigan that Michigan had in Madison. By the way, Wisconsin, another shutout over the weekend. Now, granted, it was the Golden Flashes of Kent State, but it was still another shutout as they won, I believe, 48-0. Speaking of winners, before we get to Iowa State, the Emil's Hideaway pick six. Big week for not us.
Todd Bromekamp show with Alex Kuhn. Each of the three panelists went 4-2. Each one of us on the gym class went 2-4. So we turn a five-game lead into a one-game deficit. The TB show has taken the lead. Dave Alec, our individual winner, his second individual win of the year. He won on a tiebreak with his two teammates. We'll pick again on Friday. And Bob and Parnell, the benefit of riding Dave's coattails, Bob wins a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway.
Congratulations to Dave and to Bob and everybody. We'll do it again coming up on Friday. We're not exactly sure what time, but we will see. We'll have that for you coming up on Friday. Iowa State with a big win over TCU on Saturday in Ames. It wasn't a must win, but boy, it was one that Iowa State had to really have. And they came through in a big way. Got a defensive touchdown in that game. Brock Purdy was, tell you what, you take away the Oklahoma quarterback position and Brock Purdy's your MVP of the Big 12 right now. I know there's no MVP of the Big 12, but player of the year of the Big 12 conference would be Brock Purdy at this point.
He's doing it running and passing, and as long as Iowa State can ride that formula, it's going to be a very difficult team to beat. One of these days, Purdy's running is going to be shut down, and then who does Iowa State turn it over to? I could be
Johnny
wrong.
Johnny Lang came up a little bit big in the game on Saturday.
I could be wrong. Purdy's playing at a very high level, and I mildly disagree with you. This was a must win. Iowa State wanted to stay in the chase for a Big 12 playoff berth.
Now, very impressive win by Baylor.
Yeah.
On the road too over the weekend in Manhattan, I believe, against Kansas State. Really punished Kansas State in that particular ball game. Iowa State goes on the road now for two, starting this week in Morgantown in Granite, West Virginia. I believe they lost at home, in fact, this past week to Texas. But it's still on the road. It's still in Morgantown. It's still a tough place to win. And then to Texas Tech, who just beat Oklahoma State in Lubbock. I'm not so sure that going to Lubbock is going to be harder than going to Morgantown. But a couple of big road games coming up for Iowa State to keep alive for a possibility at getting into the Big 12 championship game.
Iowa State a 10-point road favorite, and Iowa a 3-point home underdog.
Coming up this week, so we'll see. You and I got to see them beat Youngstown State on Saturday. Good crowd up at the Uni Dome. Almost 11,000 up there. That was nice to see.
How were the beer sales?
They were at least a couple.
Yeah.
That I was responsible.
Was that odd?
It was.
Yeah.
I got to say, it was odd. But you know what? There wasn't a huge clamoring to the beer line. I have four separate stations for it.
Yeah.
Two on the north end, two on the south end. And, you know, you never had to wait more than 1 minute. It's not like you've got a line of, you know, people all the way around the dome,
right,
lined up. I think it's just there for the people that want it. Some people want a beer. Some people don't want a beer. Now, it's probably going to be different at Iowa or Iowa State. I understand that. But I thought there would be a bigger line. But it's still, it's $7 into the coffer every time somebody.
Well, it wasn't $2 tall boys, huh?
No, it was. But that's not, for a sporting event, it's not horrible.
No.
And it was a tall can, so. But yes, and a good win by UNI, too.
Very good win over Youngstown State. Caught the tail end of that game, and very, very good win, especially considering UNI has to go to number one North Dakota State this week.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they will head on the road to the Fargo Dome coming up for a 1 o'clock game on Saturday that you can catch right here on KGYM. And the UNI news today, before we get to a break and bring in Mike Halas, Jalen Reima, the former Cedar Rapids Prairie product, started off his career with some promise at UNI. Of course, Grandpa Gary calls the games for the UNI network. Announced today, Mark Farley did, that he is going to redshirt and he is going to enter the transfer portal.
Mm.
So Jalen Reima, his days at UNI are done as far as on the field are concerned. He was dressed, but did not, I don't even think, got into the game on Saturday as UNI beat Youngstown State.
Interesting what has happened or hasn't happened. In the case of Jalen Reima, just a terrific athlete coming out of Cedar Rapids Prairie. And I know he's had a couple injuries along the way, but his fans, I know, we wish him the best of luck.
Yep, not sure where he's going to end up for his senior year next year, but it will be somewhere other than Cedar Falls. Take a break, come back. Mike Halas joins us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was in Ann Arbor. We'll talk about Iowa, Michigan, and other things with Mike when we return after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the 6th annual Leon Evans Cruise-In October 12th at the Fairfax Regional Sports Complex. Come see muscle cars, hot rods, custom cars, and more. The event is free and everyone is invited. There'll be music, food, raffle prizes, and lots of fun for the whole family too.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you on the gym class for this Monday here on KGYM. A reminder, we've got not one, but two of our Whirlpool Careers High School Tailgate Tours coming up this week. Thursday, we're at Washington. Friday, we will be at Prairie as we'll bring you those. Whirlpool Careers, a presenting sponsor of the Tailgate Tour. Iowa National Guard, Happy Joe's Pizza and Ice Cream, Prince Albert Tuxedos and Suits, Unity Point Health Community CPR Team, Marcus Theaters, Nevermore, The Fifth Realm Haunt at Lindale Mall, U.S. Army and Community Crisis Center, and Food Bank. All the great sponsors that bring you the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in as we get ready to get into Mondays with Mike. Michael Oss joining us as, of course, Mike with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Halas. And, Mike, good afternoon. Nothing better than a 10-3 game and followed by an 8-hour trip back home, is there?
Oh, anything up to and including a kick in the head.
Well, everyone's had their opinion. You know, some people, it's the sky is falling. Others are, okay, it's one game. I guess the truth lies somewhere in between anyway. But this was disappointing because it was a time for Iowa that a lot of folks thought they had a very good opportunity to pull off a game in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, and that's really, if you want to get analytical about it, that's putting it mildly. That game was for the taking, you know. You hold Michigan to 10 points and whatever it was, 267 yards. Shut down their running game. Outside of one long pass, they don't get 100 yards passing. You turn the ball over four times, they only get a total of 3 points from it. It screamed, win this game, and their offense simply was not capable of doing it.
Where do you point, Mike, in terms of Iowa's offensive futility?
Well, I don't think it's anything terribly complicated. It starts up front. The offensive line had a bad game. I thought that, you know, my untrained eye is that they missed a lot of assignments, that they didn't seem to know what they were doing in a lot of blitz situations. I don't think Nate Stanley had an especially good game. He made some plays, but he ran into a couple of sacks. It was not an all-conference game from him. And I'm not sure I like the play calling much at all. I'm with a lot of people who it's simplistic to say, but they got away from their running game. And I always thought that Iowa football under Kirk Ferentz meant that you don't abandon the running game. Even when things aren't going well, you keep pounding and pounding. And in the fourth quarter, maybe things open up. That's what happened to them in a few of these big games they've had at home against highly ranked teams the last few years. It's what happened when they played Michigan in 2016 in Kinnick. It's what happened when they played Penn State in 2017 in Kinnick, though they didn't win the game. Akram Wadley eventually got some running room and made the best of it. And they seem to just turn away from that altogether. And I also, you know, all this stuff's real easy to say, but Tyler Goodson, the freshman, established himself kind of early in the game as Iowa's feature back. And he did get the most touches of any Iowa running back, but, he looked like he was ready to get the ball. So they could have gone to him more. I don't know if that's nitpicking or not. But the whole thing just added up to the fact that the offense, at least the quarterback and the offensive line, picked a bad time to have a bad game. And I don't think that the offensive coaches did enough to help them get out of it. And it was just I'll say it again, it was a squandered opportunity.
It certainly was, and I agree with you on Goodson. But as you wrote today, and you've seen it, I've seen it, Scott's seen it, Iowa fans regrettably probably won't admit that they want to remember seeing it. But Iowa football has bounced back in the Kirk Ferentz era against after similar games.
Yeah, well, I mean, every week's different. And, you know, this week will be different than last week. They're going up against a terrific defense again. And I don't even know why I'm saying again, because I'm not convinced Michigan has a terrific defense, but they certainly had a terrific defensive plan for this game. It's the same defense that went to Madison and just got abused. You know, I mean, it wasn't that they got outplayed. They got trampled up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Army at home and gave up 200 yards on the ground. They never had a performance this year where they held an opponent to one rushing yard, you know. And that Michigan offense, it's not any good. They've got great receivers. They've got NFL receivers, but when you can't get them the ball consistently, it doesn't really matter. And I don't think their quarterback's anything special. I don't think he had a good game at all, really. They have one 51-yard play. That decided the game. You take that away, and I thought the passing game was – I was secondary, and I was defense as a whole, of course, but the secondary was terrific. So this was – I picked Iowa to lose this game, but I never dreamed that they would only get 3 points.
Yeah. Mike Halas joining us on the Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:44. That was going to be my next question. Overshadowed by everything doom and gloom and disappointing about Saturday was the Iowa defense, which was just absolutely stellar.
Scott. I mean, look what could have happened.
Oh, definitely.
Iowa fumbles on the first play. You know, right then and there you think, whoa, okay, that's kind of a bad omen. Then Stanley, who hasn't thrown a pick all year, throws a pick in each of the first three quarters. All four of those possessions only add up to 3 lost points. That just smacks of this is your day when you can get away with that. And yet they couldn't. The defense would have been within its rights to... you know, sounded bitter after the game, but it's not the college football player's way, really, to do that, to say we deserve to win, but the offense let us down. But they all know it,
mm-hmm.
You know. And they said, well, we let them score twice in the first, you know, quarter. Well, yeah, you held them to 10 points at home. Michigan, you know. You held them under 275 yards at home. You gave your offense chance after chance after chance to get back in that thing and tie it up. So from Geno Stone to the linebackers to the upfront guys, I thought Chauncey Golston was really good in his return to his home state. That unit confirmed what we've been saying all along, which is it's a good defense. It's a good defense, and I think that Penn State's offense, which has just put up, you know, pinball numbers so far, is going to come down to earth a good bit Saturday night.
Geno Stone, I thought, was absolutely terrific. And
yeah.
He's going to be the next Iowa safety in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a big guy. But, hey, Desmond King wasn't a big guy either. Isn't a big guy. Plays big. And Stone is just... Stone's just a football player, you know. Knows where the ball's going to be, instincts, doesn't get beat typically. And he had a couple of plays early in that game that brandished him as a great player. Dan Dierdorf, who used to do Monday night football games as a commentator, he's Michigan's color commentator. He's a Michigan grad from way back. And Dierdorf was just raving about Geno Stone, and he raved about Iowa's defense as a whole and how it was able to stop those Michigan receivers from ever really getting any momentum.
Mike in Marengo on the text line says, so essentially you're saying since the Iowa abandoned the running game, Michigan's defense had all the opportunities in the world to blitz us because they knew we weren't going to run the ball. Mike in Marengo, yes.
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 Yeah. I'll go along with that. No, I mean, Don Brown, Michigan's defensive coordinator, won the mano-a-mano battle with Iowa's offensive coordinator, Brian Ferentz. You know, ball game.
Yep.
He did. Yeah, there wasn't much more to be said about that. But now, you can't let one loss turn into two losses. The hangover from Michigan cannot go into Penn State because this might be a better team coming in. We will find out.
Oh, first, it is a better team.
Yeah, first big road test, though, for Penn State.
Yeah, exactly. And Penn State has played five games, and Pittsburgh's the only team it's played that I would consider good, even semi-good. They've played a lousy schedule so far. Idaho, Buffalo. They won huge at Maryland and Maryland, it's hard to describe if they're good, bad, or in between. They feast on bad teams and get beat by decent teams. And then Purdue Saturday. Purdue is a gutted team. Purdue is, you know, having one of those years. They lost their quarterback and they lost the receiver, Rondale Moore. Just, you know, one of the most explosive players in college football, and he's gone. And Purdue couldn't put up anything. Purdue's offense, which has been so good the first 2 years under Jeff Brohm, and you thought Iowa's one rushing yard was bad. Well, Purdue had minus 19 at Penn State. Mm. They got sacked 10 times. So no Sindelar, no Moore, no rushing game, no good. This is a different environment altogether, different opponent. First-ranked team Penn State's playing. They're playing at Kinnick on a Saturday night, where the last few years we've seen that's been a true home field advantage. And it's a place where Penn State was 2 years ago with a team that was in the top five and had Saquon Barkley and won by the hair of his chinny chin chin. So, I generally don't make picks on Monday, but I'm going to pick Iowa just because I think that they do learn from Saturday, from last Saturday, and that they give Penn State something that Penn State hasn't faced this year.
Iowa State seemingly can't play a game without it being delayed or canceled. I don't know, it's one of those things in Ames, but after a two-hour delay, Iowa State won what I think is a very important game to stay in the Big 12 race.
That was Iowa State, right?
And do we really need to go down this Brocktober road? Or, I don't know.
Where are Cardinal been terrific, gold?
Well, allow me to pat myself on the back a little bit, because I've been saying I think that this is going to be a really good team, and I will say it again this week. Purdy's a special player. I'm not saying he's a Heisman-level player, but you know what? He might get there before his career is over. I'm talking about in the conversation. And he's in some rarefied air in some national statistical categories. And I didn't see Saturday's game, so I can't comment with any kind of authority on it whatsoever. Not that I could anyway, but I saw the highlights, and he made a lot of plays. And TCU isn't some ham and egg outfit. You know, I mean, you don't have to explain what they've done under Gary Patterson in the last decade. They're not great this year, but they're not horrible, and Iowa State carved them up. So I think Iowa State is on that same path as it was last year, and I guess the year before, where, okay, they started slow, too slowly, but they'll get it revved up, and I kind of think that they're going to win these. They've got the next two games on the road.
Yep.
I kind of think that they're going to win them both. Oh, Texas Tech's going to be really hard, I believe. But I just think that this offense is finding its way, and they've already got a proven defense. And Iowa State still has things to play for. So I think it's kind of an interesting team to watch.
I would agree with you, and I also agree with you. I think going to Lubbock is going to be tougher than going to Morgantown coming up this weekend. And as far as Iowa State is concerned, they showed Johnny Lang came through with a little bit of a running game. They needed something besides the Brock Purdy show.
Yeah, and they needed the offensive line to look better than mediocre, and it sounds like that the line was really good Saturday.
And when Gary Patterson says, we got our butts kicked, I mean, that's a pretty good indication of how things went, because he's a pretty no-nonsense coach.
Yeah, and they got Iowa State last year in Fort Worth by a touchdown, and they were lucky to get that win. It's already looking like a what-might-have-been season in Ames. You lose at home to Iowa by 1 point. You lose at Baylor by 2 on a last-second field goal. And now you're looking at Baylor, which turned around and went to Kansas State and beat them bad. And you're saying, boy, if they could have gotten those two games, well, ifs and buts.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is that it's a competitive team. And, you know, there are two directions to go, forward or backward, and they seem to be going forward.
In between all this fun pigskin football stuff, you had a trip to Rosemont, Illinois. For Big Ten Media Day for basketball. Any takeaways from that besides the big ones from what we learned on Wednesday?
Yeah, they had three Hawkeye players there, Wieskamp, Garza, and Kreener. And I had a chance to talk to Wieskamp and Garza for a while, and they're very genuinely optimistic. And I know that athletes are optimists. If you're not, you probably have the wrong endeavor, you know. But I think that they know, and they know that basketball, it's a different dynamic than football. The basketball team's going to lose three of its five top scorers from last year if Bohannon doesn't play this year, which I tend to doubt he will. That doesn't mean you're going to be worse, you know. There are other players who have other strengths, and sometimes maybe those strengths are the strengths you need more than the guys who left. And I think they like what they've got. I think they like the concept of Wieskamp being the money man. I think that, I mean, Wieskamp and Garza both stressed how highly they think of Jack Nungi, who redshirted last year and will be a third-year sophomore this year, a 6'11 guy who they say is gotten a lot stronger, and he's still got a good three-point shot. And that with Nungi or with Kreener, you can really spread out the offense. You know, if they're not posting up all the time, they're running around all over the place, and they'll take a three if you give it to them. And Wieskamp thinks that's going to help everybody. Garza thinks that's going to help everybody. And it's October, okay? Everybody's feeling good about it. But they do have players coming in. C.J. Frederick, I keep hearing about and hearing about. You haven't seen him play here yet, but you're going to love him, they say. Okay. You know, that would be a start. They're going to have a senior point guard to give him some minutes named Bakari Evelyn, fifth-year senior, grad transfer. That can't hurt, a 22-year-old guard who's, you know, if he can give him 12 good minutes a game, that's fantastic. I'm not making any judgments about them yet, and, you know, probably won't until New Year's.
But it's coming up around the corner.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I don't understand a lot of things in this life, but why college basketball has suddenly basically become a 12-month-a-year sport. I mean, they practice in June, July, and September.
Yeah.
And then they officially start practice, well, I guess, you know, a week and a half ago.
True.
And it never ends. I mean, they're playing conference games in late November and early December, and the NCAA tournament goes all the way to April Fool's. To me, it's too much, but, you know, that's their baby, not mine.
It makes some cash. There you go. Mike, always appreciate it. Thank you. And we'll look forward to talking with you next Monday.
All right. See you guys.
Mike Halas. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and update you on baseball when we come back.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that make
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
3:58 back with you. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next on KGYM 107.5 FM continues with the Cardinals and the Braves. Braves have taken a lead now, 4-3 on an Albies home run, two-run shot after Matt Carpenter, we thought it was an error, but apparently when you hit a ground ball to the third baseman and he kicks it, it's not an error anymore. What has happened to our grand game, Mark? At any rate, we'll talk baseball with Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow and more coming your way on the Gym Class, a Tuesday edition right here on KGYM. We've got the Cyclone Sideline Show tonight at 7 on 1600 AM for you. We have the Twins. Best of luck to them trying to keep the season alive on 107.5 FM at 7 o'clock. And then 106.3 FM will have Monday Night Football. 1600 AM will join after the Cyclone Show. I got everything right there.
You did. Enjoy the games, everyone. I can't wait to talk to Cal Eldred tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming up next.